prize. Almost.
Okay, all right. Okay, we're going to call the Health and Human Services Committee to order. We have a couple of bills to hear. Public hearing on House Bill 3093. We are not going to hear House Bill 3252, nor House Bill 2027. So the two bills... Okay, we're going to have the work session on 3093. I will open a work session on House Bill 3093A.
Wrong one.
Pardon?
You handed me the wrong one. It's 3100 he handed you.
Yeah. We're going to have a work session on
that. Oh, okay.
A public hearing on that one. So you want to bring us up to date on...
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill
3093.
House Bill 3093A is a bill the committee heard last week. Requires the Department of Human Services to amend the Bill of Rights for residents and patients of long-term care facilities. The committee did hear about a possible amendment, but the party that was going to bring this amendment forth has decided not to do so. So the committee doesn't have... any amendments before them. It passed unanimously in the House. No revenue, no fiscal.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'm wondering why we don't have the amendment.
No, they decided not to do
they
the
decided
amendment.
Not to have it.
Do we need to refresh on the bill?
Well,
Jim, would you like to come up, please?
I'm still kind of concerned with the scope, which is why we're looking for an amendment.
Okay, and that's thank you for raising that issue, because I did see the list of courses that are to be taught, and I wondered about it myself. Go ahead and give us an update.
Chair Morissette and members of the committee, I'm Jim Davis, representing Parkinson's Resources, Oregon State Council for Retired Citizens, and the United Seniors of Oregon. The work session today is on House Bill 3093. It had been amended on the House side, now to the satisfaction of all parties. And essentially, what it does is it amends the Bill of Rights for patients in nursing homes around two key issues, and that is that the staff that are caring for them receive training in disease, and then that there be a right around modified special diet. There had been some concerns raised by the Oregon Healthcare Association about essentially making it clear that some of these training modifications would be done through the Board of Nursing. Our feeling had been, and they are now in agreement, that these things are specified throughout statute, and more than anything, it's really through the Bill of Rights. We're just really trying to make a statement of the importance of these two areas, and we're really not changing statute in any way or requiring anything that's not already required in law. It's just really making a very strong statement around the need for disease management and also around the need for special diets.
Thank you, Jim. My main concern was the fact that we just in the language in 3 sub A that if a facility gets a patient with a disease or condition, that facility that may be outside of the scope of training of their staff, that they have a liability potentially if they can't find staff who can deal with that specific condition. And I mean, that was my concern, is that we are setting up unintended consequences. I understand what you're trying to get to, but...
Chair Morissette, Senator Cruz, we actually did talk to SPD after the hearing, and they saw that there would be little, if any, chance that any facility could be fined in that manner, and that the CDT training actually lists almost every disease imaginable, and that they couldn't imagine that there would be any real problem with that. And as I say, that more than anything, it's more symbolic of the need for this to be listed within the Bill of Rights, that it's not really changing anything within statute.
Senator Berger.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to add some comments, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And that is that I don't think you're looking for to replace the doctor or the specialist or the but in treating people that are very ill and with certain illnesses, you really do need to have some understanding of that illness. And I think that a layperson, such as myself, was able to be trained in a very short period of time to take very good care of a terminally ill patient. So I really very supportive in what you're trying to do, because I think that the diet requirements might not necessarily be what is written down on the paper, but it's what that patient can swallow, can eat, can digest, and so forth. And I think the quality of life of the patient is what really the bottom line is. Jim, am I wrong about that?
No, Senator, you're absolutely correct, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because really what we're looking at here is just really a basic level of training and education around disease and some of the special diets and some of the special needs within those diseases. Not asking for anything elaborate. These are really basic level staff that we're dealing with, but just that there is some recognition of some of these special needs, and you are absolutely correct in that. Thank you.
Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is not a question, a statement, if that's okay. First of all, I look at this, and I think it is not a problem to enact it. But I do know, after our experience with the Foster Parents Bill of Rights, how important that became to getting the proper respect, the proper training in place, you know, to have our foster parents operate. There's nothing like making it clear that you will consider diet, you will have a knowledge of this, in order to make sure that everybody has that training so that patients' rights are considered. I think it's great that we're doing these kind of things, so obviously supporting the bill.
I have to make some comments, yes, too, then.
Senator Demontis Anderson.
Can't be left out. My father's in an assisted care facility right now. Unfortunately, he has become quite confused, and he has Parkinson's. And yet he's not to the point where he needs to be in an Alzheimer's unit at all. But the fact that I'm a nurse and I understand a little bit about Parkinson's, I have been able to tell them exactly what he needs. And this really brought it to light why this is important, because there's not always a nurse in the family to help that person that's in that. So I really find value of this, because the staff that are caring for my dad are wonderful, except they really didn't understand all that they needed to know about Parkinson's.
Well, and that's one of the key factors in dealing with Parkinsonians, and a lot of our healthcare professionals are not aware of some of the special conditions around timing of medications, around diet, around physical response, and just with very, very basic training, they could be assisted in this. And yes, unfortunately, not all families have nurses like yourself. And so this is geared more at Parkinsonians, but also at Alzheimer's and other diseases, that there be a good educational base for everything.
Okay. Just a sec. The list that I have from the Board of Nursing of curriculum, mm-hmm, okay, does mention Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all of these are covered 24 hours. It doesn't, let's see. At least 24 hours of classroom instruction prior to the student's care of plans that includes at least 24 hours. There's a lot of stuff here. The purpose of the amendment was kind of a double check to make sure that the department paid particular attention to, I think, Parkinson's maybe. Parkinson's. Okay, do you think that the training is adequate?
Mr. Chair, yes. Yes, I think the listing is adequate, and I think it's covered well. And as we have said, that this, more than anything, we just feel that it's important for this to be listed within the Bill of Rights.
Okay.
And that I think it would be taken for granted that, you know, any kind of changes in curriculum, which I don't think is really necessary, you might add a disease here or there, but that it would be done through the Board of Nursing and that the department would get involved in that. But we think that's fine.
Okay. Senator Cruz.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3093A engrossed to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 3093 engrossed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Yes. Yes. Okay. I would call a roll.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Senator
George?
Aye.
Senator Von Davis?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Cruz?
Aye.
Chair
Morseth?
Aye.
Okay,
House Bill 3093 moves to the Senate with a due pass recommendation, and Senator Monda Sanderson will carry the bill. Okay, we're going to not hear House Bill 3252, but there is a note here before me from Senator Berger.
Would you like for me to say that, Mr. Chair? The Department of Human Services has said that they actually have the information that can be prepared on finding which employers are where people work when they come to get services from the state. And so, bearing that in mind, it is public record. And so, if they request it, it may take a while for them to put the report in order, but the proponents of the bill, I believe, can get this information without having a bill and having it in statute.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
A follow-up. I just think it would be so important for us as a legislature to know how our employees fare in this test.
Okay.
And I had a person today that came in from business said, we've looked at the preliminary numbers. We feel confident that we will be at the bottom of the list. We believe you and your people will be at the top. That the state will have the biggest problem of forcing our employees to live on Section 8 housing and food stamps. So I think it's going to be really important that we ask the question of the agency. We want to see this information. We want to know how do we stand as the employer, as a state.
Okay. Did you make note of that? And would you ask, please, Dash, to get us this information and have it delivered to you before June 15th?
Hey, why give them so much time?
Well,
tomorrow would be fine.
June 15th at the very latest. She will be in touch with you.
He didn't say what year.
Okay. During June 15th, 07. Okay, we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3100A. Would you like to give us an update on 3100?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3100A exempts federally qualified health centers and health centers that serve medically underserved individuals in rural areas from professional corporation requirements. It, too, passed the House unanimously for those who were present. No revenue and no fiscal impact.
Okay. Doug, would you like to come up, please?
Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Doug Riggs, the Oregon Primary Care Association. I'm going to let Nicola Pinson, our legal counsel, explain this legal issue. I will say that this bill was amended in the House, taking into consideration some input that we received from the Hospital Association. The Hospital Association testified in support of the bill. There was no opposition to the bill, and it passed 58 to zip on the House floor. But Nicola can explain it. It's actually kind of an interesting issue, so I'll let her briefly go into the details.
Okay. Chair Morissette, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Nicola Pinson. I'm Director of Policy for the Oregon Primary Care Association. Thank you for the opportunity today to testify on House Bill 3100A. The bill addresses a technical fix in Oregon law to ensure the ability of community health centers to directly employ physicians. Concerns have been raised by a number of our health centers, and the goal of this bill is to clarify our ability to employ physicians and to continue to serve Oregon's medically underserved populations. Legal analysis of this issue was performed by legislative counsel, and you have we included in our testimony that analysis for your reference. Independent analysis was performed by OPCA as well as independent legal counsel, and both of those opinions concurred with legislative counsel. The legal issue is one known as the corporate practice of medicine prohibition, and it originates in Oregon case law beginning in 1947. The doctrine prohibits corporations from directly employing medical professionals unless the corporation itself is capable of obtaining licensure. The intent of this prohibition is to protect the independence of medical judgment from corporate interests in profit. However, the application of this provision or prohibition to community health centers, which operate without profit and also under federal mandate to serve medically underserved populations, makes little sense. In particular, health centers operate under federal grant and legal requirements that strongly encourage the direct employment of healthcare providers. And contrary state law would impair the ability of health centers to successfully obtain these federal grants, which fund partially care for uninsured in the state. As recommended by Legislative Council's analysis, Section 1 of House Bill 3100 proposes an amendment to exempt community health centers from the requirements of professional corporations, which would clarify the ability of community health centers as nonprofit organizations governed by community and patient-based boards to continue to employ physicians directly. In 2003, the legislature passed a similar clarification related to the dental statute to ensure the ability of health centers to directly employ dentists. Similar amendments, however, were not made to the medical statutes and are now needed to clarify the ability of health centers to directly employ physicians. The legislation is very simply an effort to update an antiquated legal doctrine and to ensure that over a quarter of a million Oregonians can continue to receive care at our health centers. Thank you.
Senator Cruz.
Does this law just address FQHCs, or would it include cancer centers and other entities like that? Or are they already covered under?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a little bit unclear, which is why we amended the bill in the House. It was very clear from the LC opinion that FQHCs needed to be addressed, and it was less clear as to whether or not we needed to fix the law for other entities, including nonprofit hospitals and such. And as a result, we agreed to take out the section that was actually Section 2 of the original bill that would have gone beyond and tried to clarify the bill for everybody. And in this case, we decided at this point to fix it for the community health centers and leave the other fixes to the other entities at their discretion some point down the road.
Good idea.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So how do the FQHCs, I work for an FQHC, so how do they, we had a physician.
Right, and they directly employ their medical staff. That's the most efficient way to do that. So I think that's largely the practice among health centers.
And it's just that the law, and we're doing something that the law says we shouldn't be doing.
Exactly.
All right. Okay.
Technically, but it's technically, and that's why we're fixing it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Modest Anderson. Interestingly enough, this has been a problem in other states. Oregon is not the first state to encounter this, but we're one of the last states to fix it. And I think this is a vestige of concern after the World War II era, when there were a number of people trying to get into the provision of medical services who probably ought not to have been in the provision of medical services, is my understanding. And so there were unlicensed people out there trying to gin up some business, and I believe that's the genesis of this. I think we've progressed far beyond that. And so, as Nicola indicated, this is kind of an update of the statute.
Mr. Chair,
I guess I have no problem with the bill. I guess I think we may need to look communities that, I mean, if you have like a community cancer center or a community pain center, their boards are community members, and they do very good things. And if they are caught in this loop as well, we may need to be looking at addressing that in the future.
Mm-hmm. too late for amendments this time, huh?
I've been hearing that for 3 weeks, and I just don't understand, but anyway.
Maddie, did you have any comments? You look puzzled.
She's still worried about June 15th, I think.
Let me reemphasize, June 15th. Thank you very much. Others wishing to testify? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3100, A, Engrossed, to the Senate floor to be passed recommendation.
Move House Bill 3100, A, Engrossed, to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Montanus?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Curry?
Aye.
Chair Marcet?
Aye. House Bill 3100 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and Senator Mona Sanderson will carry the bill so she won't lose her nurse's license for working in an illegal operation. And you will be sure to mention that when you carry the bill, right? Okay, and with that, we will close the work session and close the meeting and close the session.
Yay!
Party time, almost. Okay. Thank you very much.